This is Talking Business. I'm joined now by Tim Reed, who's the CEO of the accounting software business, MYOB. Hi, Tim. Thanks for joining us.
Alan, great to be with you, as always.
Tim, there's a bit of stuff going on with small business at the moment, in particular in the Royal Commission, where the banks are being seen to be not great towards small business, who are your customers, of course. And at the same time, the federal government's trying to encourage small business with the 20% $20,000 instant tax write-off in the budget and a few other measures. Are they kind of offsetting each other, the banks versus the government?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting perspective. Look, the good news is right now small business is in a reasonably good place. So when we look at business conditions, when we look at business confidence, when we look at the surveys that we do at MYOB about expected growth in business going forward, all of those indicators say that right now, overall, small business is in a pretty healthy place. Not to say that there aren't businesses without its challenges. And, you know, the government was very proud.
You get the impression the banks are crushing them.
Yeah.
Isn't that so?
Yeah, so we'll get to them in a second. But the government was very proud to, you know, extend the $20,000 instant asset write-off to help small businesses. And our research said that was the number one thing that small businesses wanted in the budget. So good to see that. The number two, by the way, was reduction in company tax rates for all Australian businesses so that Australian businesses are able to remain competitive in a global economy, and the government's obviously pursuing that as well. So that's good news. Moving to the banks, though, it is incredibly troubling to read and hear some of the stories coming out of the Royal Commission. And we obviously saw it more on the consumer side in the first two phases, and now it's all about small businesses. And I think Kate Carnell, the Small Business Ombudsman, has made a really good point about this, that you know, the thing that really surprised her were the terms and conditions in the small business loans that have been made, that despite the fact that there is generally, and I think it's over 80% of cases, property which is used to secure the loan, and despite the fact that some small businesses may have never defaulted on a single payment, that the banks have the rights to change the terms and conditions of the loan unilaterally, and that they have the right to call the loan in even though there are no overdue payments. And that has come through as, you know, really creating some devastating stories for small businesses. It's a small number relative to the overall economy, but nonetheless, I think something that needs to be looked at as to whether...
It's a huge thing for the businesses concerned, obviously, and that's the problem.
It is everything for the businesses concerned, like literally everything that goes on the line. And that is why it's a problem.
But the thing is that the banks, and you've known this for a while, I think, the banks aren't really lending on small business anymore.
No.
And haven't been for a while. They basically just lend on property, right? And if it just, and if it happens to be for a business, same thing. Doesn't matter. It's got to be on property.
Correct. As I said, it's a massive proportion of what the banks consider small business loans that are guaranteed by property. So they're not really taking a risk on the business because they've got the property sitting behind that. You know, Alan, of interest might be a company that MYOB is invested in called OnDeck. And OnDeck...
How do you spell that?
O-N-D-E-C-K.
OnDeck, okay.
OnDeck.
Right.
Yeah, we're on deck with you. We're here to support you.
Oh, right.
We're all on board. And OnDeck provide cash flow loans to small and medium businesses. So on average, sort of $30,000 loans, but anything from, you know, 20 up to over $100,000. Purely against the cash flow of the business, with regular weekly repayments that get scheduled through the duration of the loan.
And what's your interest rate?
And the way the loans are presented is in a total fixed amount. So you can go on there, and it varies depending on the amount that you want to lend and the period that you want to lend it for. The interest rates are higher than anything that is secured by property. There's no doubt. Whichever way you look at it, and whichever loans you get, it will be more expensive than it will be from a mortgage, or more expensive than it would be from a property-backed loan from one of the four banks.
But what's the number?
Well, look, Alan, it varies. It honestly varies compared to if you want a large sum of money for a very small period of time, then the interest rates will be quite high in the APRs.
You know, what, like 20%?
No, it'll be higher than that. It'll be above what a credit card would be if you wanted it to be for a short period of time for a large amount of money. And then they come down to sort of that sort of range dependent on the smaller amount of money over a longer period of time, the interest rates are lower.
And where does the money come from? Who's funding it?
So the money, OnDeck is a company that has a variety of shareholders. OnDeck is existing in the US and they're the major shareholder. MYOB is the second largest shareholder in the company. And then we have a debt package where we go out and raise funds on the market, just like banks do, to provide the funding available to small businesses.
Right,
but it's an alternative it's an alternative that's there, and the amazing thing with OnDeck, which has surprised me, is just how much it's loved by small business owners because we're willing to lend against cash flow.
And they don't mind paying the interest rates.
They don't mind paying the interest rates. Everything is very clear up front as to how much has to be repaid and what those interest rates are. But for many of them, if there's an opportunity to buy some inventory at a price that they know they could sell it and make a good profit on it, if there's an opportunity to buy a second coffee van and they know the economics of that coffee business and they know in what period they can pay back that second van, there aren't many alternatives, and what they don't want to do is put their house on the line. They like to separate their personal financial position from the financial position of their business.
Well, it's possibly because their house is already on the line.
Possibly, but what they really like is the fact that there is a business there that's willing to lend against cash flow.
Yeah. Well, there's quite a lot of that going on, isn't there? I mean, it's quite a competitive market now that OnDeck is playing in.
There are. There are at least five or six other providers of similar sorts of products.
The other thing that's going on at the moment, which you're obviously engaged in to some extent, is the cashless economy. Not that you're in taking cash money, but you're a close observer of that, and the government has a task force on the black economy. They've banned cash payments above $10,000 as a part of what they're trying to do. Do you think that that's enough, or should that number be brought down from 10,000?
I don't think it's enough. I think it's a starting point, and I would like to see the Treasurer reduce that further over time. Well, I think if it came down to, say, the next step of $5,000 and ultimately to $1,000, it would have a lot more impact in what the government's trying to do. Now, the government's trying to stamp out the black economy. It's $25 billion a year of unreported revenue that the government doesn't see and therefore can't collect tax on. That's not a victimless crime. That is actually meaning that the tax burden is falling on other businesses and other consumers who are declaring their income. So I think it would help there. But my bigger point of wanting to move to a cashless economy isn't so much to stamp out the black economy. It's more because it would make it cheaper, simpler, and lower risk to run a business. And holding cash in a business is one of those costs that I think is hidden and many small business owners don't think about. But the risk of having to have cash available to always be able to give change to customers, the number of staff who touch that cash throughout the period of a day, the cost of having to constantly do the banking and make sure that the right notes are there, the right coins are there, etc., is a very real cost on the business. It takes time. It's an extra task that needs to be completed. And it's one that is fraught with risk because, let's face it, cash is the easiest thing to steal.
I remember when the GST was introduced almost 20 years ago. Now, that was meant to abolish the cash economy, but it never worked, really, did it? If anything, it made it worse.
Yeah, correct. It gave greater incentive to move to the black economy. And the GST only covers 46% of economic activity in Australia. So there's large segments of the economy that are not covered by the GST.
Do you think the $100 note should be phased out as well?
I do. In fact, $100 notes cause small business owners real problems because they have to keep enough change to be able to give change to someone who buys a coffee with a $100 note. And let's face it, they don't come along that often. I don't know.
Nobody's got $100 notes. It's the most common note in circulation, apparently, but nobody's got one.
Correct. So where are they and what's happening to them? And I would say that the whole black economy task force, $10,000 is a good start. Get rid of $100 bills and I reckon you'd be going a fair bit further as well.
So we'll have a $1,000 cap on cash payments, no $100 bills, and I mean, what's needed to make it possible for small businesses to be cashless?
Look, most of the infrastructure that is needed is already present. And I say that the infrastructure is there doesn't necessarily mean the tools and applications are there. But I think what's needed is the government to put a stake in the sand to say, as at this date, let's call it 1st of January 2025, we will move to being cashless. And we're going to move there over time by continuing to reduce the amount that can be paid in cash and by continuing to reduce the size of the bills that are in circulation. You could get to a point where, you know what, we keep coins and the really small bills for very small transactions, but it's so simple today to be able to tap a card and be able to pay. It's cheap for small businesses to be able to offer those sorts of merchant facilities. So I think with all of that together, there is, you know, there's no reason that we couldn't do it today, but I do think it's going to take people time to adjust their mindsets to get there. So I think the right thing is putting a stake in the sand and moving towards that point.
So abolish the 50 and the 20 as well?
Yeah, over time.
Mm. Great to talk to you, Tim. Thanks.
Alan, it's always a pleasure.
I've been talking to Tim Reed, who's the CEO of MYOB.